Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We turn our attention to love from the viewpoint of human duty to God and to others. We shall include a large number of passages of Scripture to learn what the Bible teaches and how it reads and what it includes and specifies regarding love as the Lord expects from us. Now, the New Testament has much to say about man's love for God. This love must be exclusive in nature. Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and the mammon." In Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Friend, that simply means that there is room for only one supreme loyalty in the Christian heart, and that must be toward Christ. The Lord cannot and will not share first place with anything or anybody, and he has a right to claim that he is the Lord. And man's love for God must be founded on man's gratitude to God and God's love for man. In 1 John 4:10 and also verse 19, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." John further wrote, "We love him because he first loved us." But man's love must be an obedient love. There cannot be separation of love from obedience. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." In John 14 and verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Again from John the 14th chapter, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And further he said, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." In 2 John 6, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." In 1 John 2, 3-5, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we do know that we are in him." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Friend, there is no way to separate love and obedience, obedience from love. More than a usual number of scriptures now we have cited to document the connection between obedience and love, because this needs to be impressed upon the minds of man. Too many have the concept that they can ignore, that they can disobey what God says, and yet claim love for God. Why, the only way that we can prove before God that we do love him is to do what he commands. Saying we love God is insufficient. It requires doing his will. We do not honk if we love Jesus, as a bumper sticker once suggested, but we must obey if we love Jesus. And this tendency among some to claim to love, but at the same time refuse to obey, friend, that's foreign to the truth. Man's love for God is outgoing, by which we mean that it reaches out and extends to others. In 1 John chapter 4, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." There simply is no such thing as loving unless we seek the other's highest good. Now this brings us to our next consideration of love, and that is the love that Christians are to have for their fellow Christians. Love is the distinguishing badge of the Christian society. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14, let all your things be done with charity or love. Now, I know that some dislike the word charity, as is found in the King James Version, and possibly because they become infected with some of the modern speech perversions to the point that any rendering found in the King James Version is rejected by them. But there is a sense in which charity conveys more the Christian doctrine than does the word love. Many people consider love only as an emotion, without recognizing the necessity of that attitude and emotion doing something. Well, Christian love acts. Christianity conveys not only an attitude, but an action which manifests itself. Charity suggests action, does it not, as well as an emotion? Charity is a good selection, and we should not hastily set it aside. In John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Friend, a church where there is bitterness and backbiting and strife and hostility among its members, it may be called a church, but it's certainly not the kind of church that pleases God. Does it even have a right to call itself a church of Christ if it persists in that behavior? The world should know that the Lord's church, for the love of brethren, have one toward the other. That's the identifying mark, or at least one of them. The church is built up by the power of love. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Notice, making increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Now I suggest to you that love is that cement which holds the living stones together. And we are the living stones of the church. Love creates the climate that is conducive to growth. It is the food that nourishes fellowship. Without it, churches cannot stand strong, but they will eventually crumble to pieces. And love is the motivating power for leaders of the church to do their task well. When Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth, he reminded them of his love. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Why, friend, when Paul corrected his brethren, it was not because he disliked them, or hated them, or wanted to get them told, or put them down. His words were strong, yes. His condemnation was severe and certain. But he was motivated to lead them the way that he did because of his love for his brethren. And this same kind of love will prohibit leaders from lording it over others, seeking their own prominence and prestige, desiring to dominate. The leader leads because of love. And this carries over to the attitude followers are to have toward their leaders. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13, we're taught to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Sometimes members do not show the right attitude toward their leaders. They heap upon them criticism and resentment and rebellion, and then wonder why the leaders do not do a better job even under the barrage of hostility. There should be a mutual love between leaders and followers, and when that does exist, the will of the Lord shall prevail. But let us now consider something else, the characteristics of love. Romans 12 and verse 9 said, let love be without dissimulation. And this simply means, let love be without pretense, let it be sincere. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the love unto the unfeigned the love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Peter is calling for sincere and genuine and unpretended love. Love is not just a surface pleasantness, but an honest and genuine attitude of the heart. Love is to be without ill will. Romans 13 and 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love envieth not. It is not easily provoked. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It seeks what is good for the other, never the injury of another. Christian love is generous. It is a love that gives. Paul told the Corinthians, while also urging them to give on the behalf of the poor in Judea, 2 Corinthians 8:24, "Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." Yes, love is proven to be true by giving. The mainspring of Christian living is Christian love. Like the love of God who gave, John 3:16, we are to give to God and to those who are in need of our assistance. God did not love because He gave, but He gave because He loved. And so it should be with us. Love should provoke generous giving. But friend, do we not understand? Christian love is so practical. It is not merely a kindly feeling and a pious thought and a good wish. Christian love accomplishes things. Like faith, it works. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." John wrote in 1 John 3:17 and 18, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Can't we understand that a love that will not work is as dead as a faith that will not work? Ephesians 4 and verse 2 teaches that love is forbearing. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love." Why, this simply means not only are we to refrain from injuring others, as we have already noted, we are to possess that quality of endurance and patience toward one another. Love suffers long, it's kind, it bears all things, it endures all things, 1 Corinthians 13. Now this does not suggest we ignore and tolerate evil in each other, but that we are patient and kind as we help one another to overcome the evil in our lives. Even Christians have to put up with a lot from each other sometimes, but they are willing to do so because they love each other. Never could love be Christian love without the forgiving spirit. One cannot love without being willing to forgive those who trespass against him. Love never places an obstacle in the path of the wrongdoer who wishes to get right. Christian love is like the love the father has manifested toward the prodigal son when the son returned home having repented of his errors. In 1 Corinthians, Paul urged severe action against one who was in immorality. But in 2 Corinthians, the action that Paul commanded was obviously sufficient to restore him. And Paul said his brethren should forgive him and comfort him. And by so doing, what does he say? They would confirm their love toward him. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. Now, Christian love is not so sentimental that it shuts one's eyes to the faults of others nor fails to be realistic. Love is not blind. Love recognizes faults, but loves anyway. Paul wrote sternly to Corinth, but regarding faults, he said he dealt with them as he did because he loved them. Now, you have heard it said that love is blind, but that's not Christian love. Christian love sees things as they are, realistically, but it's powerful enough to do whatever is necessary to help overcome the faults. It may require rebuke. It may call for discipline, or whatever else the Lord requires. Love which shuts its eyes to faults and sins in order to avoid unpleasantness is not Christian love, because Christian love never shirks responsibility toward other people. Blind love would be harmful, not helpful. Christian love seeks the other's highest good. And Christian love controls the way we use our liberties. In Galatians 5 and verse 3, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Ephesians 4 in verse 15, we're taught to speak the truth in love. You see, love is the motive behind speaking the truth. Love governs the manner of proclaiming it. Love and truth are never contrary to one another. They go hand in hand. Because we love others, we will even forego what we might consider to be our rights, if it be for the benefit of others. Now, truth is sometimes pleasant, and sometimes it's unpleasant. But it's always consistent and always compatible with seeking one's highest good. Let us understand that love is the bond of Christian fellowship. It is binding. Colossians 2 and verse 12, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Christ." Friend, it was love one for the other that caused Paul to make a special request for favor from Philemon concerning a former slave named Onesimus. We read about this in the little short book of Philemon, verse 9. He said, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Yes, we're at liberty to do favors for each other. And we do favors for each other. And why? Because of love for each other. Love is the power behind our faith. Galatians 5 and verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Yes, faith works. Saving faith works. And love makes it work. Love is the quality that can make the Christian life a mature, whole, complete life that can be called perfect. In 1 John 4 and verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Colossians 3 and verse 14, "And above all these things put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness." Such then are the basic characteristics and the products of Christian love. It's all summed up in the phrase that Christian love is seeking the other's highest good. Beyond all question, Christianity is built on love. It's the greatest of all virtues. It's the primary quality of the religion founded by the Son of God, the umbrella under which everything else falls. And if found practical in man's love for God and in his love for his fellow man, may God help us to love as he has loved us. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.